From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The social media giant Facebook has had its fair share of criticism, from the role it played in fomenting, polarizing, and fake news ahead of the 2016 election, to the ways in which it keeps tabs on users and scoops up personal data. But that criticism appears to be warranted, even after Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg penned an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal to try to defend his practices. In his piece, titled "The Facts About Facebook," Zuckerberg wrote, "We need your information for operation and security, but you control whether we use it for advertising." Critics jumped to debunk his claims, even as a new report emerged about a disturbing app that the company launched to pay teenagers to spy on them. My guest is Mara Einstein. She is a professor and chair of media studies at Queens College at the City University of New York and an independent marketing consultant. She's been working in or writing about media and marketing for more than 25 years. She's been an executive at NBC, MTV Networks, and at major advertising agencies. She's the author of a number of books, including Black Ops Advertising, Native Ads, Content Marketing, and the Covert World of the Digital Cell. Welcome to the program, Mara.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So what do you first make of this op-ed that Zuckerberg wrote? I think the fact that he felt he had to write it shows that this is a company under major scrutiny. He's obviously a PR effort, but he, you know, claimed this was just him listing facts about Facebook. To me, it seemed more like Zuckerberg's version of the facts.
Absolutely. This is a conversation that he's been having actually over and over again, or as PR people have been sort of forcing him to have over and over again. And it reminds me an awful lot of the time when he was talking in front of Congress, when he was called in front of Congress to talk about what was going on with Facebook. And every time he sort of dodged the facts a little bit or twisted them just enough to feel like they were innocuous, and they're not. And one of the biggest things, and it appears both in his testimony as well as in this op-ed that he wrote, which is, we don't sell your data, right? And I think for consumers, that's been the bugaboo. People are, you know, companies are scooping up our data and they're selling it. And so somebody's said to Zuckerberg somewhere, if you tell them we're not selling your data, then consumers will feel okay about it. The problem with that is, no, they're not selling your data, but they are using the data to then sell advertising to companies in order to be able to target you. So in essence, the same thing happens. They just don't directly sell your information. And the same thing is true with Google. Google doesn't sell your information. Google gobbles it up and keeps it for themselves. And that's exactly what Facebook is doing.
Right. We have to keep reminding ourselves, in the age of the internet, personal information is the currency, is the product that they are trading. So Zuckerberg said, this is one claim that I think I want to hone in on. He said in his Wall Street Journal op-ed, people consistently tell us that if they're going to see ads, they want them to be relevant. That means we need to understand their interests. And it was interesting because the New York Times had an op-ed in response called Mark Zuckerberg's Delusion of Consumer Consent, where they say that they did studies showing that a majority of people, you internet users, do not want tailored ads for products and services. How important is this one point? Because Zuckerberg is basically saying, we're just giving people what they say they're okay with.
Well, there's one aspect of that he avoids or tiptoes around, which is the fact that people don't want advertising at all.
Right.
And we know this because look at how many people have used ad blockers, how many people have done everything they can to actually avoid advertising. And, you know, that's why marketers and publishers have become more and more surreptitious in terms of the way that they advertise to consumers, because consumers don't want to interact with it to begin with. So, if you're going to get an ad, yes, you probably do want something that is more tailored to what your needs and cares are. But the fact of the matter is that the algorithms still aren't good enough to actually do that. So, you know, I think that most people in your audience would be able to relate to the fact that they bought a pair of shoes or they were planning a vacation, and if they ended up not buying it, that it still followed them around the internet. Or even if they finally booked the vacation, it kept following them around the internet. Well, that's because the technology is still not there to be able to understand who we are, exactly what we want, and how we want to be targeted to. So he can make the argument that the ads are better tailored, and maybe they are better tailored, but it doesn't mean that they're good, and that's part of the argument that he doesn't want to discuss.
There was a terrible story late last year about a woman who was pregnant and gave birth. It was a stillbirth. She had a stillborn child, so her baby died, and social media still kept targeting her with baby ads. And so she shared her story about it, and I mean, those are the kinds of, you know, the sort of one end of these a spectrum of the kinds of terrible things that, and then, you know, in a way that was re-traumatizing her, of course, that these social media companies just fail on. The other thing that Zuckerberg said in his Wall Street Journal article was, on Facebook, you have control over what information we use to show you ads, and you can block any advertiser from reaching you. You can find out why you're seeing an ad and change your preferences to get ads you're interested in, and you can use our transparency tools to see every different ad an advertiser is showing to anyone else. And then, Mara, ProPublica, just the same week, days after he wrote this op-ed, said Facebook quietly blocked tools that let people see how its ads are targeted. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw it, but Kara Swisher, who has a podcast, Recode, and writes on technology, she did a response to, or actually she rewrote Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed. And one of the things she wrote in there, which was absolutely spot on, was that people don't understand how this technology works. And not only do they not understand how exactly it works, because it is difficult. I mean, you really have to look to find these things and to be able to make sure that the advertising is the way you want it to be. But she compared it to having the 12 o'clock flashing on your VCR, right? Because nobody could ever figure out how to run their VCR or set the clock on their VCR. And that actually wasn't all that difficult. This is much more complex. And if you really ask people, you know, can you go in and change the readings and so on, most people would say, I had no idea I would be able to do that. And they don't. And, you know, two of the ways I like to think about this, too, is somebody just told me about, and maybe some of your listeners and viewers know about this, there's something going on, it's on Instagram and Facebook now, to put a picture of yourself from 10 years ago and a picture of yourself now right next to each other. And there's some speculation that this is, and I can't confirm this, but I still think they'll probably use it, that Facebook is using this as facial recognition to be able to see how people have aged over time, and so they can use it to improve their facial recognition technology. So whether, and Facebook is saying, no, we didn't create this meme. This is a meme that was created by somebody else. And that's fine, but Facebook will still get the value from having those progressions next to each other. And sure, they could go back in and try and find your picture from 10 years ago, but it's a whole lot easier if people are competing against each other and putting their pictures from 10 years ago and now right next to each other. Now, people are doing this because they think it's a game, but the fact of the matter is it becomes a really clever way for a space like Facebook to use that information to improve their technologies. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is I think that people have a very good sense that their data is being collected by these companies, but I don't think that people have a full sense of the consequences of it. And, you know, a place where I see that is in my classroom. So I will say to my students, do you have a good sense of how much information is being accumulated about you? And they'll say, yeah, we know. And they're like, well, do you care about it? And they'll say, no, you know, it's really fine. And then they'll say, okay, well, let me rephrase that question. What if I told you you couldn't get health insurance because of what these companies see about you? Or what if I said that you couldn't get a mortgage because of what these people collect about you? Or what if I said you couldn't get a job because of it, but you don't know that that's the reason why you're not getting a job? And what the response usually is, well, we know how to do the privacy, you know, information and all of that kind of stuff. I'm like, don't kid yourself. I mean, seriously, don't kid yourself. Because companies have found ways to work around that. And it's not just companies, it's also universities are starting to look at people's social media. And what the smart students have done is changed their name on social media so it's not actually a name. So, everybody's using this. And we don't know how, not just Facebook, but all these other institutions, how this information is being used against us.
So lest what you were just saying sounds far too conspiratorial to be real, Facebook was just caught marketing this app on through iTunes, where you can get most apps, targeting teenagers and offering to pay them $20 a month to spy on them. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, these teenagers voluntarily opted into this, but they're teenagers. And Apple has now taken that app off, accused Facebook of violating their rules. And that's rare, right? To have like one sort of tech company smack down another tech company like this. But this, it seems as though Facebook, if you think it won't go that far, you find out eventually that yes, it will.
Well, the issue with this, Sonali, is that Facebook doesn't have a motivation to not do this.
Yeah.
They don't have any sort of motivation to not do something that will get more people onto their site so that they can sell more advertising. And because their whole revenue model is based on an ad model. So the more they can serve up ads that are going to help advertisers, the more they're going to do that. And so they have no motivation at all not to make, not to gobble up our data, not to take more and more information about us so that they can serve it back to advertisers. And one of the things too that I thought was very disingenuous in Zuckerberg's op-ed was he was talking about how many small businesses are able to use Facebook as a platform through which to sell their products. Yeah, sure. But it's not free to them. And what Facebook has done with the algorithms is make sure that people's information, particularly businesses, is not going to be pushed through the system without them paying for advertising to do it. So,
right, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is essentially what we found. We're a small two-person radio and television program, and we've built up a Facebook page with thousands of people that have chosen to like us, have already said to Facebook they want to see our content, but Facebook has decided, well, we can monetize this and have reduced the number of people that actually see our content unless we pay them to see it. So it throttles the exposure that you can then pay to expand, even though those people have already chosen the information, chosen information from us. So yes, and this is true for small businesses all over. Facebook is squeezing them. And there was this other story, just to go back to the kinds of nefarious things that Facebook has done. The story that came out that the Center for Investigative Reporting put out a week before Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed or just a few days before. And that has already completely slipped out of the media. And I don't know if you saw this, Mara, but it was basically this report that relied on internal documentation that they obtained from Facebook showing that Facebook employees routinely encouraged game developers to let children spend their parents' money through playing games on their Facebook page. Games like Angry Birds, Petville, and Ninja Saga. Sometimes the children didn't even know they were spending money. And Facebook called it friendly fraud in an effort to maximize revenues. No one's even talking about this. It came a week ago, and you know it's already lost in the mess of things that Facebook does.
Well, you know, if we go back to thinking about Cambridge Analytica, how did Cambridge Analytica get all of the information from, what, 70 million people? And that was through apps, right? And so I think if people want to, you know, if people are still on Facebook, which I don't think they should be, but if you're still on Facebook, that one, don't put games or apps that you do through Facebook. And I used to, believe me, I used to do it. I used to play Scrabble with my husband through Facebook. And we stopped doing that because I was like, oh no, this is a way for them to, if somebody's going to get into Facebook and to tap into our data, this is going to be the way that they're going to do it. The other thing too is to not go through Facebook through an app, but do it on your laptop, because that way you're a bit more able to protect some.
So don't do it on your phone, is what you're saying.
Yeah, don't do it on your phone. Hmm.
Because it's more vulnerable to sucking up data through the phone use.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And if people want to read a book, there's a book called Anti-Social Media, which is all about Facebook and all of their wrongdoings. I mean, we're not just in the United States, so certainly in the United States, certainly as it relates to advertising, certainly as it relates to our politics, right? And the fact that they sold ads, the fact that they sold ads to Russians and knew that they were doing this. Right, that there's no stop gaps on that, and this I go back to, you know, it's so funny because when I talk to new sort of social media folks, and they always look at me and they're like, oh, you're an old time marketer, and I'm like, yeah, I am an old time marketer, and part of what I talk about as it relates to that, and I talk about this in Black Ops, but I talk about it generally as well, is that when I worked in advertising, and if I was going to put a commercial on a broadcast network, we had to show the script to the broadcast networks before we produced the commercial. And they would say to us, you know what, the content in this commercial is not something that we can put on our air. So there were gatekeepers along the way. But what's happening in the current advertising space, in the social media space, or digital on digital broadly, is that there isn't anybody looking at the advertising, and it's, you know, there are, you know, some people that are looking at some of the content and pulling some of the content down, saying it's objectionable content, but there aren't the kind of stop gaps on the advertising to say that this is acceptable or not acceptable. And they're saying that AI is good enough to do it, and I say it's not. You need people, real humans with real brains in their heads. They're going to look at this content and understand it within the context within which it is being presented to be able to say, no, this is not acceptable advertising.
Mara, what do you make of the fact that Facebook has just hired one of its biggest critics, Nate Cardozo of the Electronic Frontier Foundation? He was an attorney there. He'd been critical for years of Facebook. He once even said, Facebook depends on our collective confusion. They've now hired him. Is this more PR?
I got to think. So what is he doing for them exactly? Do you know?
He's one of three veteran privacy law activists that have been hired. And apparently they are going to be working on WhatsApp, which is the very popular, at least globally popular, free texting app that WhatsApp, that Facebook bought up. And I think that's about it. That's all we know, is that they're going to be working on WhatsApp.
The most recent thing that I read was about how Facebook is planning to integrate WhatsApp and Instagram and Facebook. So,
right.
You know,
and the messengers, the messaging parts of these apps, right?
Yeah. So it makes me think that maybe what he's going to do is find a way to do it so that they can try and circumvent being regulated. I mean, all of this is all about, you know, let us never forget, that Facebook is a private company that has no regulations on it at all, and that 60% of the company is owned by Mark Zuckerberg. And so unless and until you can change that part of the equation, and the only part of that equation we can change is the regulatory part of it, you know, we have no control over what happens in that space. So if you're okay with that, great, go play there. But if you're not, be aware of the fact that he can do whatever he wants with your information, whether he's hired this new guy or not. And it makes, you know, I'm really mixed about that. I mean, the only thing I can think of is either he's trying to do it in such a way to integrate WhatsApp so as to be able to find a way to circumvent, not to bring up the rancor of regulators. Because look, he went and presented to the Congress, and everybody's so worried about Trump and everything else that Facebook has sort of fallen off the map. And it's time for it for them and Google and Amazon and Apple to all get brought in front of the Senate and in front of the House, and people need to talk about how to regulate these institutions.
So Mara, isn't
way too much power.
Isn't this a huge part of the problem, is that the technology has changed faster than the regulations have had a chance to keep up with them? But the other part of that is that most of our lawmakers, as they demonstrated during the hearing where Zuckerberg was asked to testify last year, simply don't understand Facebook and social media well enough to know how to regulate it. We don't understand it. Our members of Congress, most of whom have an average age that's, you know, older than the average Facebook user likely, or Twitter or Instagram user, they have no idea how it works, and they don't know in turn how to regulate it. And it seems as though Congress needs to rely on some privacy experts, groups like Electronic Frontier Foundation and others, to give them some guidance on how best to regulate Facebook, right?
Yeah. Well, I actually, out of my own pocket, I sent a copy of Black Ops Advertising to every senator.
Wow. Awesome.
And
I hope they read it.
And obviously, they didn't read it. My favorite story about that is Orrin Hatch thanked me for the book about poetry.
Oh dear.
So I know they didn't read it. Maybe some, and I didn't necessarily expect that the senators would read it, but I would hope that some of their aides moving into, you know, these kinds of conversations on the Hill, that they would have taken a look at it. But, you know, it was blatantly obvious based on how they were interrogating Zuckerberg, that they didn't have the least idea. You know, one of the great examples of that was somebody asked the question, if somebody is not on the Facebook site, are they still being tracked by Facebook? And his response, which was, I was gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked when he said this. He kept saying, I'll have to talk to my people and get back to you. Now, anybody who's read anything about Facebook knows that if there's the Facebook icon on a website and you have not logged out of Facebook, that Facebook has access to your information. I mean, that's, you know, so if I know that, I assure you Mark Zuckerberg knows that. And he just tried to bamboozle the folks on the Senate, at the Senate, by saying, oh, I'll have to talk to my people and get back to you. Mm. Oh, please.
So, time for Zuckerberg to be brought back in front of Congress, and this time maybe with some better informed lawmakers present to try to do that. I mean, some people have even said, and I'll ask you this last question of you, Mara, some people have suggested that Facebook has now gotten so big that it really should be considered part of the commons, that it really should be turned into a public company.
Right. That conversation has been had about Twitter as well, yeah. And I think that I think it is the case. This is too much power in one person's hands, and not for nothing, but you know, this is a young white male who, you know, when he finally had a baby, it was like, oh, brave new world. People have children. I have to worry about what happens to kids. Well, I don't want to have to wait until Mark Zuckerberg has some other life experiences to realize the consequences that Facebook is having for people around the planet.
Mm. Well put. Well, Mara, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Great talking with you.
Same here. My guest has been Mara Einstein. She's a professor and chair of media studies at Queens College at the City University of New York, an independent marketing consultant. She's been working in or writing about media and marketing for more than 25 years. She's been an executive at NBC, MTV Networks, and at major advertising agencies. She's the author of a number of books, including Black Ops Advertising, Native Ads, Content Marketing, and the Covert World of the Digital Cell. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.